would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to the Warmaster Podcast, episode 78 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. How are you?
I'm good. Mm-hmm. Drinking Leffe.
Yes, we are.
Blonde.
I do like this drink. It's not quite my favourite beer, but it's close.
Is it another Leffe your favourite? I like Brun.
No.
It's caramelly.
So my current two beers, the most popular one I like is Punk IPA, Brewdog, with the blue bottled one. And also, I do like a bit of Blue Moon, but blonde beer would, never be said no if it was there.
6.6%, only a little bottle, but you don't want to go mad on this bad boy. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying not to get too pissed. Mm-hmm. Today's topic is the Triwiz 2017.
Yes.
Autumn edition.
Yes.
Or winter now edition.
Our last tournament of the season of 2017.
Yeah, it's been good. Mm-hmm. So we can maybe recap on all the events we've done. We've also been, it must be almost 2 weeks now since we recorded.
Yeah, I reckon. Roughly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's Thursday night. I think the last one we did was a Friday night before.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Before the weekend before. Mm-hmm. So it's the 16th. It's 9:10 in the evening.
Yep.
Paul's working himself up to go away. I'm sure we'll discuss that.
Yeah. Like what I'm up to, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's get started in Paul's world then. Let's see if we can keep this under 30 minutes because we've got quite a lot to talk about.
Okay, so in brief, I played a game of Vampire Counts versus Rodder's Beastmen since we last recorded. That was down the club the week before. And that was cool. It was a good game, and which I won with my Vampire Counts. And we were testing out some trial Beastmen rules.
Yeah, like, I think I'd played them the week before.
Yeah, exactly, played them the week before. We also discounted the Minotaurs, put them down some points.
Did they do anything?
They did in that game, but they certainly, that seems fairer, like, for those points for those guys. Anyway, and then also I have done quite a bit of painting because I'm going to SteamCon tomorrow.
Ooh.
So I wanted to make sure I had everything painted, so that meant finishing off my masons because I'd gotten the newer larger scale plastic ones and sold the old team I had, so I had to redo.
Newer larger scale?
Yeah, so the guys in...
So they're all single piece plastics now?
Yes, they are, and that'll be how they're done in the future, I think, as well. Yeah.
I've said this before, things are going full circle.
Mm-hmm.
Because this was the original, wasn't it? And then people started going multi-piece and, like, you got your GW, like, millions of pieces. Yep. And now we're going back one piece. Single pose.
Well, I suppose, with Guild Ball models, there's essentially... You can convert them if you want to, but you have to stick mostly to the original model. And there's no need to convert them because they aren't... and there's no optimism to there, is there? You can't, like, have a different bit of equipment with them or anything. They're just set players.
There's no danger of them going pre-painted, is there?
No, I don't think so. And also, the Space Hulk Terminators have come back from Simon, so I've based them up. I've done the bases actually already.
Oh, you've changed the basing?
Yeah, so I've put them on bases, Barry. Good. So, like, I'd done the bases separately, and I'm waiting for the commission to finish, and then it was a matter of just putting them on the
much
bases.
Much better basing.
Yeah, exactly. And that matches the gene sealers I've done as well. So when we come... If we want to do a game of that on camera, everything's done. It's ready to go.
Yeah, you can use that in a regular game as well.
If I wanted to. Yeah, okay, exactly.
Excellent.
Uh-huh.
He does nice work, Simon.
Yeah, he does. I mean, like, it's a nice price for what he charges. Yeah, like, and obviously...
Is it enough to keep him in a living now?
I don't think so. I mean, like, yeah, certainly it can't just be from me because he wouldn't be doing enough for a living. But the advantage of using him, there's no postage.
Mm.
And he always rounds stuff down anyway. It's like, it's a mate's rate, so that's quite cool.
Okay, cool. Well, why not him? Well,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
He didn't pay lucky.
I did that. Like, so he'd done my union team. I've done my masons. So I'll be taking to SteamCon two fully done teams with every option that you can have. But as I was saying, like, about SteamCon, I'm looking forward to it because I'm looking forward to hanging out with some friends and a couple of days away. And I'm actually really looking. You know, this is weird. I'm looking forward to that room in the hotel.
I'm not sure how much I'm looking forward to a room with two other men.
Yeah, but it's no baby. Wow. Yeah, but no baby crying. That's
depends
like
how much they drink.
Yeah,
it'll be worse than baby.
Maybe, but it should be a laugh. But as for the actual events, I'm going to definitely go to Sherwin's presentations, his seminars. Not because I'm really, you know, you are a fluff bunny,
but you just haven't read the fluff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's like I'll support your mate, don't you? So like, yeah, I'll go. Me and Eric are going to go do that. And I'll play casual games around the other things. Like there's the Steamicon mixer, which is tomorrow night. So that's basically a social, right, you know, of the convention.
Okay.
Where you're given on the end, you know, you're with your ticket, you're given like a bunch of freebie stuff, including, I think it, the way it will be, some collectible cards.
Okay.
But you get only some of them. So the idea is that you trade at this social to. Yeah, it's a way of breaking the ice with other people.
Okay.
Basically, making geeks talk, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which
but
is,
it may well just be you talk between the two or three people you know, and you can. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
It's a bot, basically. It's, yeah,
it's basically like speed dating for nerds.
Yeah, it's kind of why I said it's joking. It's like, whatever. Yeah, anyway, we'll be going to that. I won't be going crazy, staying up all night playing Guild Ball, you know.
He's becoming an old man now. It's like the greatest thing about going away is getting an early night. I'm not having to get up at 5 or 6 in the morning with the kids. This is brilliant.
No, it's if it was War Master, I'd be tempted to play, you know, more than I intend to play. But I mean, the thing is, it's like the prizes and things. Like, I don't play Guild Ball enough to be really competitive.
Yeah,
at
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
You know, like so, I'd only get smashed in like a proper tournament against proper players. So I'm fine with that. You know, like that's, you know, it's what. That's fine with me.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'd like to.
I reckon in life you can only be good at one or two games at any one time.
I think so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like competitive.
Because when I was playing War Machine a lot, I'd say I was reasonable. I won a tournament with Signar, and I would often do quite well. But you know, the limits. I would normally handstring myself with the lists I wanted to bring rather than what was like. I wasn't always. Yeah, Epic Haley and you know something and something else. It was yeah. You know, I took the list I wanted to take, and that was like Haley days of Mark II. Yeah, I'm definitely not there now with War Machine now. But we seem to be doing quite all right with War Master, me and you.
Well, that I mean, it just generally got to show that the more time you play again, the better you'll get.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, we'll talk a little bit about the tournament later. We don't need to get into that too. We don't want to spoil things. Anything else happened in Portland?
So last night, so there's been two club nights. I was supposed to play Anthony at 40k, and
that's who likes to bone.
I'd been careful with this because he's this kind of guy that everything is broken unless he's using it, and then it's fine if he's using it. It's not broken. So you know. Take that as you see it. Anyway, he'd said like he wanted to get some stuff off me, and he said, "Oh, like I happen to be free on the next club night." It's like we'll play again 40k. And I said to him, "What do you want me to take? Because you know, like I can play GC the Cult, or I could play these Primus Marines. The Primus Marines are fairly like I think fairly. I haven't chosen to make them gross, but GC the Cult stuff, yes, I definitely can make it. You know, quite tough. But what do you want me to do?" And he said, "Don't worry, take what you want." Just right. His quote was, "Don't be Mark Pocock about it." And I said, well, there's a story there. I said, "I can't be Mark Pocock because I just can't, and who would want to be anyway?" So, but he said, "Like, you can take what you want." So I got hold of Clarky and messaged him and said, "Clarky, can I borrow a band blade, a super heavy tank?" And he's like, "Of course he has one. He has more than one."
Of course he has. Like, why wouldn't he?
And that was my setup. I was going to turn up and I was going to pull out my tray of Gene Zilla Cult, you know, mostly infantry. And then I'd be like, "Oh, there's something missing. Clarky, I'll just take the super heavy." And be like, "That's in my list as well." But he's got a 2 kids now, and the youngest was unwell. So he had to bail on me on the day, and luckily...
That will happen.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you, because if your wife's been at home with sick kids all day, and you think you're coming home from work, then going straight out to play in the club, that ain't happening. With little kids, that ain't happening.
So that didn't happen, but Phil stepped in and was willing to play 40k, so I used that on him instead.
Okay.
Against Necrons.
They're good. Very resilient.
Yeah, definitely. I thought, of the stuff he had, like the... the 30-man... No, was it 30-man? 20-man...
It takes a lot of killing.
20-man Necron Warrior unit was good because of its always coming back on fives every turn. You know, like, and it doesn't matter if they've failed a roll and they're off for good.
They can always roll. And it was like he had some ability to roll twice in a turn and one of them was on a four. It's like, shit, I killed 20 and 15 came back.
I thought that's a really good list. That's a really good unit. The other thing that stood out, they had these wraiths, which are basically like like snake style kind of stuff, but they have a 3 up invulnerable and he just wouldn't fail the dice. They were like with 3 wounds each, they were just constantly passing the rolls. That's pretty damn good. I took this Bandblade and it was nice to see that it didn't overbalance the game, but it was because you had to. Because in 40k, you have to say where everything's firing at before you roll any dice. So apparently I had to kind of overkill something to make sure it went away. And that's what it did, basically. It just kind of picked on one target a turn and it kind of annihilated it.
And playing scenario means you have
to. I mean, like, it
can only sit on one thing.
Forged.
That it can be on an objective and your troops overpower it and take the objective.
It only counts as one model.
Yeah.
So it found a place basically as a piece of artillery in this list. And we played through a game, and luckily the way 40k is, you can play it quite quickly. Like it doesn't take all night.
Killing a bucket.
If you're just I'm picking on one thing at a time, so he's got less things to move around. But the game ended 8-7 to me. It was quite close, it was fun. It was a 40k game against someone you know, like in the right spirit, it's fine. It's fine.
And I wouldn't fear that Baneblade shooting pox knockers all day.
No, exactly.
Just be laughing.
It might kill quite a few. Not a
big
but,
deal.
Yeah.
Any more where that came from, Mr. Baneblade?
Exactly. It's like, there's counters to stuff. But playing the game, I mean, because also it was kind of a test of the scenery I have gotten together at the moment in anticipation of Necromunda, and I wanted to see on the table how much would it need, because obviously I'm assuming Necromunda games are going to be 4x4 again,
right?
Do I need more scenery stuff anyway, anticipating that release as well, so teasing what it was, but playing it, I was glad, I was glad I borrowed this, the tanks from Clarkey, because I was
going to hide behind them.
Because
you could hide behind the Baneblade, couldn't you? All your gene stealers could hide behind
you. I'm just saying, like, the way the nonsense of that game system is, it's like, it's fun to play like that, in terms of, when you've borrowed somebody's, silly thing and, here you go. But I'm glad I didn't buy that myself.
Yeah, whatever it is, 100 or 85.
I don't know, but
A few quid.
I'm glad I could just borrow it and then give it back.
Okay, so I don't think I've played. I haven't been down the club since we last recorded, or did I go down last week? I can't remember. I played Rodders.
You played? No, it was the week because No, you haven't.
Oh. Mm-hmm. There you go. I thought I hadn't. Maybe I hadn't.
Or did you play Eric at something?
Oh, I did. I played Eric at 40k, didn't I?
Oh, yeah. You made him. You made him sad. Made him sad.
Because he had how much are those Primaris with the crazy plasma guns?
Roughly 30 points each.
That seems cheap.
I think. I'm not sure.
That seems cheap.
35? Yeah.
So you had a full unit of 10 of those bad boys. Now, those things will vaporize anything.
Yeah.
Literally anything in the game. Because if they overcharge and they're near the reroll machines, say strength 8, minus 3 AP, 2 wounds each, 20 shots.
Yeah,
20 shots.
Yep.
So what I did is I made him shoot my poxwalkers.
Yeah.
And I made it harder to hit my poxwalkers.
Yeah, that's right.
By using sight. So we were playing this silly mission where
there was night fighting.
Yeah. So over 18 is minus 1 to hit.
Yep.
So his marines are now hitting on fours, and then I got a psychic pan that makes them harder to hit, so now they're hitting on fives. And my poxwalkers, even though they don't have a save, they still got a 5+ in whatever it is, ward save,
A few. Disgustingly resilient.
So one turn, he put his entire army into, because I made him shoot the nearest unit, which is these poxwalkers. Yep. He killed one poxwalker, 6 points. From 1/6 of his game.
Oh dear. That's a good trade.
Because you only get 6 turns.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good peace trade. Yeah.
Which, yeah, this little guy's head, 6 foot. Meanwhile, behind the Pox Walkers, all my stuff's just waiting, shooting into his stuff.
Yeah.
Because he can't shoot it.
Can't shoot it.
That's really annoying. So, it started off, he had to come forward to me, which he didn't want to do because he's a gunline army. He even brought his own little defensive position.
Yeah, because he'd paid for some fortifications with his theme, doctrine.
So he stood behind his fortification with his little attack gun or whatever it is. But then he had to come out.
Yeah.
And I was still making him shoot the pox knockers and still shooting him. And then by about turn four, he'd just run out of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm still there.
You're still there. It's there just, we go.
But you know when you're in trouble when you're a gunline army and you're shooting things you don't want to shoot.
Mm. What else are you going to do? Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Just keep shooting them, mate. I'll keep shooting you. You keep shooting them. So, yeah, that was interesting. Eric's always good fun to play against. Even when he loses, he's still quite enjoyable.
Can have a laugh.
We can have a laugh. So, yeah, and that was it. I played Magic a couple of times. Yeah, Magic's still good.
Mm-hmm.
Still good. If you like competitive games and your wallet is deep, your schlong is long, then Magic's the game for you.
Mm, definitely, I think, yeah.
But if you like ultimate competitive games, there's no game harder than Magic.
No game.
If it's down to you, mate, it just don't go tell your mum. If you
go tell your mum.
Go tell your mum, you know what I mean? Nobody's interested in you telling me that the game's too expensive or the game's too hard or whatever it is. Yeah, it is. It's the best game in the world for competitive play.
What about chess?
Chess is too much, man.
What?
Too much. Have you ever done the kind of research onto opening moves and stuff in chess?
Well, I know it's massive, yeah.
It's ridiculous, mate.
Yeah.
That's like a degree in chess. Just to learn the opening moves. I bought this book once, and it was like 7,000 pages or something, like chess opening moves.
Yeah.
Because there's billions of them. And like it's all pre-programmed and stuff. Yep. You learn, they do this, you do this, you do this. And then there's a middle bit of the game where it's a bit more free-flow and you have to think.
Yeah.
And then the end game's pretty much, you know, you just follow a pattern. It's like an algorithm. Mm-hmm. Once you're in this position, you've won. So, chess is bonkers. I've never really thought about both, but some people love it.
Yeah, I mean, I've often thought. I mean, I played a game of speed chess in a park in New York.
I lost.
A couple of years ago. Oh, yeah, totally. Because it was like, that's the thing.
That's my job.
Yeah, you know, like $2 a game, $5 if you win. Like
you only pay him $2.
Is
he going to do an hour? He's got to do
I don't know. Something like that. It was like a very low. Like, but it's over in no time, and I just really enjoyed it because like this guy, this old fella who I just like I just like the look of him. He's just like that guy's like an old Jew, isn't he? You're like, and he was as well. He's exact complete stereotype, and I was like, I sat down and I'll play you. I'm the tourist. I'll play you a game of chess. Yeah, like because he's touting for it. And he says, like, do you want to be on the clock? If like, of course I want to be on the clock. And like,
how much time is on the clock?
Oh, like 5 minutes, I think, or something. Yeah, like as I remember. Oh, we didn't need it. Like I was dead in two. But like it was, it was brilliant. And,
fantastic.
And I remember thinking, I really enjoyed it. And I remember like if I lived here, worked in New York, this would be what I'd do every lunch break.
I'd
play one game a day, and I come down here, but like get on, eventually get learn his name. Right, here I am, right, lost again, see you later.
Like £2.
Yeah, and then I come back the next day. And
I missed yesterday, here's £2 for yesterday, I didn't play. You just assume you won.
Something like that, and I'll be like, here you go, right, try again, no, lost.
It's kind of like a standing order, couldn't you? Like,
like buying a lottery ticket.
Direct debit. Mm-hmm. Right, good, good. Right, so, should we do the KL multi-case jingle now?
Yes.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR multi-case. KR multi-cases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR multi-case today. Soft foam, hard cases.
Right, so we're back and we're discussing. Are we just straight into the main event now?
Main event, isn't it? We've got lots to talk about. Six games to talk about.
That's true. Yeah. True that. Mm-hmm. So, Nick drove us there. Thanks,
yep.
Nick.
Yep.
I mean, it was my turn to drive.
Then you got out of
and you were getting quite sulky about the fact I managed to avoid. But Nick stayed as least.
Yes,
late.
No, it's fine.
I knew he would.
Fine. I've no reason.
Because we had a table for a lot.
Yeah.
What was it, 13?
13 people, yeah.
So that was always going to take a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we had a few beverages. It was very nice in the evening. We went to the cheaper of the two curry houses.
Which is a better choice.
Because then we could get like 3 beers. It's still 30 quid. Yeah, the other place was like 10 quid a meg.
No. Better to go to the cheaper curry house. And obviously it's going to be it was available, wasn't it? It was barely empty. It was barely anyone in it, like as usual. For how these places stay open. But there we go.
Yeah, takeaways. So, right. So we got down there, set up the tables. Kickoff was 9:30.
It was.
They had a really interesting, this is definitely a Jim Beachism. I know Jim listens, so he won't mind me talking about it. He'd seeded people into pots like UEFA, using his UEFA coefficient. So he had the better half.
The past 3 years of events, I think.
The better half. So basically, the better players were put in the top half, seeded.
Yeah.
But they played each other.
Yeah.
And the weaker players, including Paul, my aunt, got put in the bottom pool.
Yep.
And then they had to play each other. It was that bit was kind of random who you played within your pool.
Yep.
So I played a guy who played 5 games.
Mm.
But obviously he won those five games, or pretty much those 5 games, because he was in the top. And I think Jim was using the results from Sterling as well.
Yeah.
So this guy must have done relatively well at Sterling.
Yep.
So he was playing.
So first of all, what did you bring? What was your army?
Well, obviously, I went... I didn't go high up, so I went Lizardmen. I was toying with a million different lists.
Yeah.
And I just don't...
You were tempted with demons, weren't you?
Tempted with demons. Mm-hmm. Tempted with some big break empire build.
Yeah.
I was tempted with Mercs.
Mercs?
Somebody played the Merc list that I was going to play against me.
Really?
In round two.
Ian. Oh, the Dogs of War list?
No. He had 1,500 points of empire and 500 of ogres.
Mm-hmm.
And so my list was Lizardmen.
Yeah.
Just my stock tournament Lizardmen.
Which is a lot of Saurus.
8 Saurus, 4 Coldon, 2 Pterodon, 4 Skink, because you've got to have them.
Yeah.
3 Saurus. No, 3 Skink heroes.
The Skink hero, yeah.
The general, 2 Skink wizards, Ring of Magic, Dispel Scroll, and a fighty Carnosaurus with a Sword of Fate.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So the break is 9, I think.
Yep.
It's rock solid. I virtually never lose a game with it. I think I've had taken one draw.
Ooh,
yeah, I think we played in the doubles. We won all 3.
Yep.
I took a draw against Jeff and then got 2 wins.
Yeah,
and this tournament.
Well, don't spoil
this tournament. But this list is hard to beat because everything's fucking me.
There's
no soft stuff.
Yeah,
and your list, sir.
My list was the Vampire Counts list that... hang on. Before we move on, so would you change anything in your list?
No,
this is like, there's no change. If you had the models, there's no change you'd make.
I have all the models. No. What else could I have?
Well, I don't know, but like, I'm just saying...
More skinks?
No, like, would you drop a Pterodon unit and get something else in there instead? Points-wise, change the points around?
No.
Nothing.
I regret nothing.
Okay.
This is my list. This is what I built. This is what I use.
Okay, so mine was Vampire Counts that I've been having some good success in the run up to this. And my list has evolved to be 6 skeletons and 6 zombies, 2 ghouls, 4 black knights, 2 dire wolves, 2 ethereal host, 1 fell bat, a general, vampire general. 2 vampires, 1 with a Sword of Fate because it was 5 points, 1 on a Winged Nightmare with a Sword of Might, and 2 necromancers. That's it.
An upgrade on your general, obviously. So
already, 4 Graveguard as well. Yeah.
Is he already a wizard?
He is a wizard. Okay. So he's an expensive general, but he's a very good general, though.
Very
good. Now, my breakpoint's 14. I would like to push it perhaps even more. Like, I might change one or two things around to get even more cheaper troops in there.
Less Grave Guard, then?
No, the Grave Guard have a place. I could trade in, like, you could trade, like, 1 unit of knights for almost 4 units of skeletons, that kind of thing. Yeah, like, it's tempting to do such a thing. But I've got the practice and the pace at the game to play such a big army to time. you know, like, I can.
Yeah, but those troops are shit. If they get involved, they're dying.
Well, I mean, there is that, but there's a lot they can still do, even though they are bad. Anyway, that was my list, and I'd be tempted to make some changes. Like, if I had more direwolves, I might get more direwolves, you know, like in there and change the points around.
Those cheap disposable cab.
Yeah, but they do have a place. And
how many points are they?
They are
40.
40 each.
Because they were 40 without being changed, no, weren't they? They weren't 30 like Chaos Hounds. They were 40 to start with.
There are good reason why to make Chaos Hounds 40. But I will explain some of their uses. Because the way with my army, the Vampire Counts, it was like, it's very much like a toolbox. In all three of the games I had, a different thing became useful. Like, and that's how I think, in retrospect of this, I'll come on again if I remember at the end of the tournament. I think, in conclusion, is a good player can use most armies to success. Mm-hmm. But if you have, basically, if you think of an army as the toolbox, as your options, you know, like that you've got, that you then, in the match, you then work out which one is the option you need to. What is the most important thing in this matchup? In another matchup, it might be a different unit.
Am I going to raise dead? Or yeah. Am I going to the cheeky little move? Well, am I going to do both?
Yeah, no, but it's like, what is going to be better in this and vice versa? Like,
having those cheeky dogs.
Well, exactly.
With a free move.
I don't want to spoil my game.
Yeah, you're spoiling anything, fella. That's like, we've said in the past that they've got the best spell list in the game. Because they've got spell number one.
Yeah.
And spell number two.
Yeah.
So that kind of goes without saying. If you've got the best spell in the game and the second best spell in the game,
yep.
You've got the best spell list. Mm-hmm. Nobody else has got those two spells.
But anyway, let's talk about Barry's game one.
Okay, so I played against a guy who'd only played five times, but he was seeded in the top.
Yeah, do you remember his name?
Oh, shit with
names. Okay, he was a Scottish guy.
He was a Scottish guy. He played Chaos.
Mm-hmm. I liked his list.
His list was beastly, mate.
Yeah.
His list was like a Janus list.
Yeah, I like.
So he had a general.
Yeah.
He had a sorcerer. That's his.
Good, character. Strong. Bang. I need more.
100 and, what's that? 80 and, or maybe 90 and 80, 125. Yeah. So that's 215. That's it. Bang. That'll do.
Yeah.
He had a brigade of Chaos Knights. Four Chaos Knights with a banner. It was like 830 points.
Or something. Yeah.
830 points.
A meaty brigade.
I loved it.
Boom.
He had a brigade of Chaos Warriors.
Yep.
And then he had two Marauders and three Hounds hiding. A couple of Harpies, which I said probably don't need two because they're shit. But he had them anyway. And that was it. I think his break was like 8.
Yeah, it's tiny.
But he only exposed, apart from the Harpies, which he exposed, he only exposed the two big brigades of Chaos Warriors and Chaos Knights.
Perfect.
Perfect. So this was going to be a tough matchup.
Yep.
Because he was just shoving it down my throat.
Yep.
So what Lizardmen can do is they can shut off charges. So shut off the charges of the Chaos Knights each turn. Mm-hmm. Just annoy the shit out of him. And then trade my Pterodons against his Harpies.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can do lots of things to kind of get charges
off. So in this situation, you're actually more of a break than his, for once.
9, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But his stuff's way harder than mine.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, man for man, the stuff I'm fighting against is better than me.
Yeah.
Which is unusual.
Yeah.
So we eat his two units of Harpies with our Pterodons.
Yep.
Which is pretty straightforward.
Yep.
They don't really do any damage back.
Yep.
But then my Pterodons are kind of in his lines making a mess, but they're not really going to do much else.
Going to do much else, yeah.
No, that's kind of, they've done their business. And then what we did do is we managed to, by preventing him charging, then we got the charge off on the Chaos Knights, who were all in a massive line, I thought it was like 12 stands.
Yep.
And then we flew what was left of our birds behind them.
Yep.
But the Chaos Knights are so tough, they didn't move back. And the birds were stood behind them, 1 centimetre behind them. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Because they didn't move.
Yeah. Well, as in, he only pushed him back one.
Yeah, and that was it.
Yeah.
And then his Chaos Warriors ate my birds, as you'd expect.
As you would.
And then they got really messy. So we had to... I think we had a monster brigade. I tended to do this quite a lot over the weekend. We put the... Oh, no, we didn't. We had a brigade of four Ketosaurus who took the charge of the knights that were allowed to charge and held.
Yeah.
And then my cold ones hit them in the flank and killed them.
Yeah.
Well, two units of cold ones did that. And two units of cold ones went off to go and get the stuff he was hiding in his deployment.
Yeah, yeah.
With one hero. One hero, two units of cold ones.
That's their mission.
Then go over there. Because what I needed to do was I only needed eight.
Yeah.
I got two from the harpies.
Yeah.
I was unlikely to get anything from this bloody stuff I'm fighting in the middle because it's too tough.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm losing more stuff than I'm killing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I needed to go and kill the stuff. The five units was hiding in the corner.
Yeah.
Which is, I kind of killed a couple of units of knights. And then I managed to kill the stuff he was hiding in the corner.
Yeah.
So, but if I tried to fight him in the middle, I'd have lost.
Oh, okay.
Because his stuff's too tough.
Interesting.
Too tough.
So you're in this case you toolboxed it and you like worked out what you needed to do to win. Yeah.
Well, it's not a very glamorous spell, the one that prevents you charging. Same as who's got Tomb Kings have got it, haven't they? In a different
way. Yeah, yeah.
But it's so annoying to play against.
Yeah.
It's like
You break up brigades that way, don't you?
Well, yeah, yeah. So you pick the ones in the middle so they can't charge, or you pick the nearest guy, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was a really really tough match, and I told him that he would. Because he's a bit glum about the fact he lost. I said, look, mate, I've played like a million games.
Yeah.
And that's like horrifically difficult to deal with. And it was only because I had the right army and the right tactics that I managed to beat you. And I said to him that you won't lose many games today.
Oh, no. I mean,
and he won game two.
Yeah.
And he won game three because he had 20 minutes left on the clock and his opponent had run out of time.
Yeah.
And he just called it a draw. So he had 20 minutes left.
Oh, well.
And he called it a draw.
Yeah,
so
fair enough.
So he would have won every other game.
Hmm.
Because this was that hard.
I mean, that list against my vampire count, that would have been really difficult for my vampire counts to play.
I mean, yeah, those bad matchups.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, against cannons, he's got to work hard, otherwise.
He's got to work hard. Yeah, like
expensive stuff starting.
Yeah, that's going to be really hard. But for me, I mean, there comes a point where, like, your brigade of like zombies tanks a charge, but there's a point where the charge is so strong that they just cut through you anyway.
Yeah, like Skaven, versus like elephants.
Elephants are like, I can't hold him. Like, he's too good.
That's right, we're getting too much. And you played, round one, didn't you? You played...
I've been sure
who won one of our events this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Did he have Lizard then?
He was, yes. And he was using Empire this time. With a quite knight heavy lift, 6 units of knights in it, as I remember, and then the standard cannons. And he took 2 steam tanks as well. So
he got much after that.
No, it wasn't much after that, aside from the cannons, just the core of an empire army that needs to be. So I was like, okay, you know, like, and he's got a Griffin hero and in there as well. And I was like, right, okay, I'll start pushing. You know, I'll play the game because the good thing with vampire cannons, they're gloriously. There's no other way. You've got to attack. You can't hold back and shoot. You've got no shooting.
Yeah.
Your best spell is triggered in combat.
Yeah.
So you just have to go for combat. So, and I was looking at the situation. I was like, who's going to do what? What am I going to do? And I was like, okay, so the problem with him, because he'll probably decide to hang back and let me come to him, which was the case, was that his cannons could...
They're very defensive, I find out.
Well, that's the thing. It's like his cannons could put a toll on me, and his breakpoint was only, as I remember, like 9 or 10. But like, so I start off in positive of break. I can peace trade, but those cannons can take off units without me getting any response. But he didn't defend them. It was interesting because he has won, a tournament recently.
Lizardmen
are a very different army from Empire. So the way he'd set up is he put his cannons together, no Hellblasters in the list, and he put one steam tank, it can't brigade, next to them, and another steam tank, which can't brigade, on the other side of them.
Mm.
And I looked at that and I was like, they're completely open. The cannons... Like,
you've got your 8 stand and shoot, but that's nothing.
But yeah, so into my toolbox, my best thing to charge the guns is going to be my direwolves.
Or Black Knights.
Mm, they're no, well, I mean.
Black Knights are much better.
But I'd rather throw away the direwolves.
You don't have to go with them.
So I set up a situation where I was like, right, I've got 2 units of direwolves, I'll move them forward, he'll shoot at one, and then I'll go for it with a charge, with a movement spell if I have to. To get the other unit in, and on average, I'll take off his cannons. So, like, I'll take 4 hits, going in, and I'll make this brigade of cannons not as effective. But
you've been raised dead behind them.
Yeah, yeah. But that was my ploy on my right. So the cannons fired at my direwolves, rolled very poorly, didn't take a stand. So I didn't, you know, like, this was consistently every army I played against had some shooting in somewhere, and it just meant nothing, you know, because I just, like, I don't make way, nothing happens, you know, like, it was very, you know, like, most of the drybacks meant absolutely nothing.
Well, shooting doesn't do a lot in this game.
Well,
anyway.
it does even less unless it's cannons, the undead
or brigades of four.
Yeah, yeah.
School children. What do they call the bolt throwers?
So that I still have both units of dire wolves intact, and I made my dice rolls in my turn. I mean, my dice were really good this game, and I charged the dire wolves, both units, into his cannons. They took some damage on the way in. Doesn't matter. They wiped the cannons out and then backed off as far as they could, and they were killed. Even managed to take a stand of knights down, one of them.
Goddamn,
and I was like,
dogs.
Yeah, like, yeah. And,
goddamn dogs.
So, but I was like, well, that's fantastic. I'm two up already on the peace trade for, you know, and I would happily, and then it changed to two apiece. But those cannons gave him the range of the game, and that allowed me to then close with the rest of his army with, you know, with, like, no problems.
Yeah, but his infantry's worse than yours.
Yeah, it's no better. And that's the thing, is like, I don't want to be critical. But those cannons weren't protected.
Often people get caught with their pants down with cannons.
And then another mistake that I capitalised on. So you've got six units of knights, four of them in one brigade. I send my knights. My knights are going to go at his knights, and I'll send in a terror causing vampire at the set on the nightmare at the same time, and hopefully dice are with me. You know, and I'll come up on top, and I'll do more damage than I take. He split that brigade off, though. He sent two units of knights away. So he basically turned his four into two. So my four could just attack one of them, like two of the units, which I did. And I was like, again, it's like, he should, you know.
Yeah, but he didn't want to lose all four.
Well, I guess not, but like, it was.
Because he's going to lose all four. Mm. Because what you can't plan for raised dead.
Yeah, I suppose.
So you spread out your guys 12 stands across.
Yeah.
You get hit in the front.
Yep.
With terror causing, and they put stuff behind me, you're all dead.
You're dead. Yeah, I suppose.
All of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just from one stupid unit of harpies.
So, my knights then proceeded to clean up his left when I'd taken away his range on the right, and I just steamrolled him. I had half hour left on my clock, and I won. I broke him, and still had quite a lot of my break left. You know, like, comfortable with. You know, it was surprising. I would, because considering he'd won an event, and I don't know. I just it went really well. The game.
Went well. If you lose your artillery though, Empire are pretty shit without artillery. Because what have they got without artillery?
The steam tanks didn't do much. I mean, because their shooting wasn't achieving anything, and and they're not charging pieces.
So you have to get your artillery onto something defendable, like a hill, get something in front of them, even though it means that you might not get plum targets every turn, you might not even shoot every turn.
Yeah.
You need to keep them alive.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean,
otherwise the game changes.
I think if he'd had a Hellblaster in that unit of cannons, that would have made a difference. You know,
against dogs, yeah.
Yeah, but his list didn't. Maybe he didn't have the model. I don't know. But he did not have a Hellblaster in it, and I was like, "That's a mistake. I'm going to capitalize. I'm going to take
two Hellblasters.
Well, yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Exactly.
I tend to favour a Hellblaster and a unit of infantry.
I just don't engage the infantry.
Yeah, well,
when I come.
Yeah,
in.
I suppose.
Well, I don't.
But then you don't engage the other Hellblaster, then, do you?
Either. I do. You can engage on the corner without infantry.
Anyway,
don't engage the infantry.
Semantics.
I'm telling you.
So my first game, I steamrolled the guy eventually, in retrospect, my dice.
I don't understand how you were playing in pool back in two. The guy that won his only tournament, and you that've been playing for.
You
like
have
that.
To ask Jim. I don't know.
Jim Us. Right. So round two. I played Ian.
Mm-hmm.
He played Empire with two units of Iron Guts and two units of Bulls, subbed in for Blackgate.
Yeah. So what was that like playing against your own creation?
I was waiting for them to come back to me. If he blundered, they came back to me. But they overdid the bastards. It was a messy game, this one. I played quite badly early doors. And I hid my lovely four units of Cold Ones in line. In a big long line.
Yeah.
So 3-3-3-3-3 behind a wood. And they were relatively safe. He was a long way away.
Yeah.
But he ordered three times. And he managed to get wide enough to see the
front. Bead on
one corner of one fucking one unit of knights, and that was diabolical. I've never seen such horrific rolls. So he rolled eight dice against the first unit.
Yeah.
hit with all eight.
Oh, what?
I was like one wound left. He nearly killed it with a fucking wizard shooting his flame.
But he did
thing.
Not kill it with the drive back.
No. Thank God.
Right, okay.
Next one.
7, 14, 21. He should have done.
Well, he didn't, thank Christ. Yeah. Next unit, 4 rolls, 4 hits. Next unit, 4 rolls, 4 hits. So you rolled like 16 hits.
Out of 16?
I'm like,
16 4 pluses?
I'm fucked. I'm dead. my brigade is vaporized. There's like...
So there's one unit intact.
One unit intact. There's 2 units on 2, 1 unit on 1. And it's like, that's like... What's that? 140 plus another 40. 185 points.
To one round. Cannon, one volley.
One volley of cannon. It's like, oh.
Yeah, but it did roll well.
Yeah, well, unbelievably well. But it's like, that's all my punch is gone.
So basically, he came out and. Like,
I almost quit. I was on the ropes. It's like. Because it was such a bad move.
Yeah.
There was like, I was hiding behind a forest. I could put something in the forest to make him shoot that.
Yeah.
Just unit skinks
and
or something.
And you didn't.
No, because I'm saying he's never going to get all the way around. So he's going to have to go miles.
No, so you didn't do the thing that skinks can do, which is catch cannonballs.
I just didn't think it was necessary. But he rolled really well and he got them, he moved them a lot further. Because I thought he wouldn't come off the hill. I wouldn't come off defended. No. It did cost him in the end, yeah, the fact he came off. To get them because he obviously then my brigade was all smashed to pieces.
Yeah,
and I couldn't order it.
Yeah,
so I was trying to get it back together and I couldn't. So like over the next couple of turns, he vaporized what was left of them, and I had one unit of Saurus left.
Cavalry.
Yeah, and there was 2 units dead and 1 unit on 1 stand.
Nice.
So I sent in.
This was Ian, wasn't it?
Ian, yeah. I mean, this guy's no mug. Yeah. So it's like I'm in a world of shit. I've lost all my cavalry.
Yeah, yeah.
So I sent a unit of pterodons in.
So how do you swing this back then?
It was hard.
Yeah.
So I sent a unit of pterodons in against the artillery brigade.
Yeah.
And the Hellbuster rolled 4 ones and blew up, but did 6 wounds.
Oh. Okay. Right. Oh, as while it blew up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was like two stands gone.
Two bad, three bad.
And then the cannon stuck rid of the rest.
Yeah.
So they went in, took the Hellblaster and evaporated.
Boom, boom, trade.
It's like, shit, that's not good. So then I sent in the remaining unit of cold ones with a ring of magic wizard.
Yeah.
And it took off the entire brigade of cannon.
Yeah.
And then he had flagellants facing backwards. At the back of the cannons.
Behind.
So you had cannons, Hellbuster cannons, and then behind them flagellants to
facing
protect them.
Facing the wrong way?
To protect the rear.
Oh, okay.
But I don't... They just... Anyway, so whatever. So the whole brigade plus the flagellants.
Yeah.
So that was 4-4 I took that turn, which is good, because he only had a relatively small break, I think, because he had the ogres.
Yeah. What are they doing?
They're guarding the cannons.
Right, okay.
As you do. Because you put stuff on the side, but I just don't engage them.
Yeah.
Because I'm only putting 3 stands in.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not going to touch these fucking unit of ogres on the side. I ain't got on the side. That's not happening. Yeah. So you just position. Because it's not like it used to be. It used to be you move the nearest to nearest.
Yeah, yeah.
And then form around. Now you pick a stand to
pick
move
stand.
To.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll just pick a stand that's not going to engage anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that kind of. So we got the artillery under control, and that means now that he's just got ogres and just. And cavalry, obviously. So he only had 2 units of cav and 1 unit of pistoliers. So I got my Saurus brigades to walk up the side and envelop them.
Yeah.
They literally go all the way around them.
Yeah.
We got Wings of the Jungle on the unit skinks to get round the back. So we hit them from 3 sides and then got skinks round the back against the knights. So they had nowhere to go. They died. And then we overran into the pistoliers and got those. And then on a hill, he had 2 units of bows and 2 units of halberdiers in his deployment zone on a massive fucking hill.
Yeah.
And that was the only thing I could get to win, because all the rest was ogres, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And stuff hidden in trees that I could never get to.
Yeah.
So I had to push all the way into his deployment zone and kill him, like, almost pushing him off the board.
Fantastic.
By that point, his ogres had come over and they were eating my... I had a brigade of fucking skinks.
Ah, poor skinks.
But they killed the stand of Iron Guts.
Yeah.
On the way out. So it was a fantastic game. I can't believe it came back.
Sounds like You were lucky to come back there.
I don't know if it's luck.
Yeah.
Just staying in there. It was like the rope-a-dope. Just getting smashed to shit. Like, I've just got to get rid of these cannons. Because if you don't get rid of the cannons, you're losing.
Yeah.
Against Empire or Dwarves. You're just going to lose.
I mean, in my previous game, it was that. And something I didn't mention, I managed to raise 3 units over that game.
Well, that's the tipping point.
Yeah, like, that's the tipping point, isn't it? And
if you raise 3 units, you've got to win most games. Yeah. If you raise 2, 1, there's a chance.
Maybe not.
Mm-hmm. 3 or more, it's just you can't fight through it. It's too much stuff.
Yeah,
because they're coming into combat. So that's 3 combats you've affected.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Okay, so Ian almost got you.
He should have got me.
Should have got you.
But he lost the final round because he played the guy with the chaos.
Yeah,
it's too tough. That chaos was too tough. What's Empire going to do?
Even
with the ogres.
Yeah, I suppose. Okay, so that was your round 2. So you've won both your games so far.
Won both by break.
By break.
Which is the only way to win. Yeah.
So my second game was against a Kislev and Dwarf combo. Yeah, with the mercenaries. A guy called Melvin, who's normally played Norse. And so his Kislev was...
Oh, he used to play those thingy heavy Norse, wasn't he? Those Huskarl
heavy Norse.
Yeah.
So his list was... 4 units of wing lancers, I think. More Cossacks and horse archers, loads of cavalry. The core, 1500 points of it. The core of the Kislev, which are the axemen and the characters. No wizards at all.
War wagons?
No, didn't take war wagons. It was just cavalry and axemen.
And what the fuck are they going to do on their own? What's 1 unit of cannon going to do?
Well, and then the dwarf constant was the dwarf general, 2 warriors, a cannon. And I think that's it. Yeah. So, and he...
I liked his thinking on the general.
Yeah.
Having a dwarf general.
Yeah, definitely. Because even he commands his own Kislev stuff as well as...
His Kislev guy.
Yeah, even with a negative. Anyway, but it'd be like, I just recapped the mercenary rules before we started. I was like, so if you blunder here, those dwarves might come to me.
Or like, go home.
And we're playing on a desert table with some big like blocking scenery in pyramids. So I go into my list. I form up my brigades. I'm pretty happy where they go. And I see that the dwarves are gonna the cannons especially, 1 unit won't be enough to like slow me down. Yeah. So but I was gonna have to tackle a lot of cavalry.
Yeah, because on average dice. 1 unit of cannon doesn't even take a stand.
Yeah, so...
And against some dead, I ain't even moving.
Yeah, well, in the end, what happened was, is I got the Alpha Strike. Again, I had a bigger break, of course. Of my Black Knights hit the flank of one of his cavalry brigades that was coming into me. And Kislev Wing Lancers only have 5-up armour, so there's no 4-up armour in the army. So, yeah. I was, taking quite a heavy toll on him. Kill, kill, kill. He sent off his cavalry essentially unsupported, like deep into my brigade, big blocks of infantry. And like, so when he hit like a block of zombies, 4 zombies, yeah, the zombies aren't going to do a lot, but they have a lot of wounds. They have 4 wounds each.
Mm-hmm.
He left it down. So the combat after 2 rounds ended with he'd killed 2/3 of them, but they all had a stand left because they were all in column. So that allowed me to counter. I got my rolls, I got charges in the front, and I used my fell bats then to get land behind him to catch his cavalry. And this led to the interesting thing of the game here he'd never seen anyone do that before. No, so
he hasn't played many games, obviously.
I don't think so.
Or he's got a very small fish pond that he fishes in.
Yeah, so because my fell bats then caught 2 units of cavalry that way, and I could have tried for raised dead. I didn't get a single raised dead spell off in this game, but the fell bats could do a job here. I'd held them back because there was nothing they can really charge and fight here.
Because they're shit-based.
So I used them to catch some cavalry out that way, and one with support to push him back into them. But so that was interesting. And on the right-hand side, the cannons, they did actually roll all hits one round of shooting and took a stand of Ethereal Host, but it didn't slow me down. I just kept moving my guys forward to engage him. But he did pull off... with his dwarf general, he pulled off a 3-order move on some horse archers to rear charge some of my knights. you know, three orders he pulled off. But, you know, my armour held together. Even though I was disadvantaged, I didn't take as much.
That was quite a decent list.
Yeah, so I ended up, you know, I ended up winning again quite strongly. And I had plenty of time on my clock. But there was a couple of things he did I thought was wrong. It's like, I've seen some players do this often, and I don't agree with it in terms of that's a mistake. So he, in the Kislev lift, the core is Axemen. He has to take some Axemen. So he had four units of Axemen. And he held them on his back, on his table edge. Never once tried to order them.
It depends how good they are. What are they? Halberdiers?
Yeah, halberdiers. But he never once tried to order them. And he did the same, similar with the dwarves. He put dwarves into scenery and never tried to order them again. So
you're only fighting with half your army.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like,
it's all over that half is Chaos Warriors and Chaos Knights. That's all you need.
Yeah, but it's like his so he six units he's not going to use, and when that stuff would have a role, because those infantry could attack my infantry and come off quite well actually, because a lot of my skeletons and zombies are poor fighters.
Mm-hmm.
But so he needed them when he never used them.
Yeah.
You know, in this matchup, he needed to use them, and he never did. Like, if he, instead of sending, you know, units of cavalry piecemeal, like brigades, like it deep into my lines unsupported, if he'd hit me with a united front, mutually supporting, that would have been a better move for him. Yeah. I think personally.
Okay.
Anyway, so and we after the game again, I finished with plenty of time. We had this back and forth debate about, you know, flyers and this tactic that I'd used.
Well, just flyers.
No,
I did it with skinks. Yeah,
that's what I said. That's what I said to him. It's like anything can do this, but his issue was that how easily flyers can get into position.
But they have to be a centimetre away. Skinks can actually charge you in the arse.
Yeah.
And then you can't fight them in the arse.
Yeah.
Potentially. But in this situation, they couldn't be fought.
But I'm saying, it's like, so because I had the time. It wasn't like, it was, the lunch was the round before, so it wasn't anything else, like, you know, like, to do. So I was like, we'll debate it. Like,
yeah, but my match one, I put them a centimetre behind the birds.
Yeah.
And I couldn't move them a centimetre. Yeah. I couldn't move them 2 centimetres.
Yeah, yeah.
So my birds all died.
Yeah. So,
it's not a guarantee.
No, that's what I'm saying, is it was, it was an interesting back and forth, because, you know, I said to him, like, well, okay, so your issue is, what is your issue here? Is the issue that that's a rules mechanic, that if you're pushed into enemy units, you die? Or what is your issue? And it wasn't that the units had been killed. It was flyers can land that. So I said to him, so what's your solution then? Anyone can say, I don't like this. You know, present...
It's really easy to do anything.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, present me a solution. And we went back and forth, and I floated it on the Rule Master Rules Committee, you know, like as a topic, just to see what everyone would say. And now, personally, I'll admit, like, I do feel a bit like when you use flyers that way. Personally, I do feel like, okay, it's a bit of a nasty, you know, tactic to use in a tournament.
I fucking find dogs more irritating. At least flyers cost points.
But the flyers are also limited by the fact that they're one max is one. There's only two.
Dogs aren't.
Well, no, I'm saying is, but it, you know, his issue was that how a fly is 100 centimetre move, like, can...
You're not moving 100 centimetres to do it. 30 centimetres is more than enough.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's not really an issue. I don't really...
No,
it's part of this core rule in the game.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it was... You could say, well, the guy it has an issue with a rule he's lost the game by... You know, like by a mechanic, but I was interesting to debate because, as I said to him, like, our names are in the front of this, you know, War Master Rules, you know, Revolution book. But I'm not going to turn around and arrogantly say the game is perfect, it has no issues at all. But it's interesting to debate it, you know, like, well, what's, you know, said, like, if you have an issue with something, you can't just say, oh, I don't like this thing, and not present any solution. Because anyone can say...
Yeah, but you'd probably need some time to mull on it. You'd only see it a few minutes earlier.
I suppose.
But at the end of the day, there is no solution that will solve that.
Right.
Just better play.
Yeah.
Will solve that.
Well, do you think that in Revolution, infantry are too good?
No.
No, I don't think so either. But, again, that's...
I think Raised Dead is probably too good. But I don't know how we deal with that. That's
not sure.
Raised Dead is on a level with cannons. Cannons are too good. Raised Dead's too good. I don't know how you deal with them.
Fair enough.
Still keep the... Army's working.
Right. Okay.
If you took cannons away from Empire, they'd be garbage.
Yeah. And Raised Dead is a reason to play Undead. Yeah, like...
I'd be more tempted to get rid of the other one.
Mm.
The movement spell.
Yes, I suppose so. Anyway, So I steamroller this guy, and I had time to spare. So I've won both my games as well. So round three.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're both playing Bretonnian. You've got to play Janus because you've got the lowest strength.
So this is the controversy.
The game started with you getting put in pool two.
Yeah.
With your low coefficient. So I had to play. Jim then did the unbeaten players.
Yeah.
So. The guy I played, Neil,
yeah.
who I played in the final last year,
yeah.
he had Bretonnians, I had high elves last yeah. year. So Neil had the highest coefficient, I was second, and then you were third.
Yeah.
So you get to play down,
yeah.
which is a bonus.
Yeah.
You get to play down against Janus.
And I get what a bonus.
I get to play up against Neil,
yeah.
which is fine, repeating last year's. So you get to play Janus and his breakthrough two.
Well, this is interesting. This is really interesting to talk about because we both played Bretonnians, but they had very different lists, didn't they?
Yeah, that Bretonnians will do that.
Well, you talk about your game first.
Well, Bretonnian, he had a break six. It's exactly the same list as he played last year. Yep. So he had six units. Oh, so what's that? Six. 11 units of knights.
Yep.
So two Pegasus knights, two Grail knights, one of them the silly banner of shielding.
Yep.
And then he had, what was that, four? So he must have had seven units of regular knights. Then he had just chaff. Like hardly anything. I think you got to take two men at arms or something.
Yes, yeah.
So two men at arms, one peasant, one squire, and the rest is characters.
Yeah,
like a million characters: two heroes, a general, two wizards, two unicorns,
yep.
ring of magic, yep. wand of power.
Yeah, yeah.
The unicorns are a bit overpowered, really. They don't need unicorns.
Yeah,
and because their spell list is really good, Bretonnian,
yep.
and they've got like. Oh, this one's going to ring a magic, that's automatic. This guy's going to use his unicorn, and he's going to use his wand, and he'll be doing this on a two-up. It's like, Jesus, man! It's like almost automatic. So, exactly the same list as I played last year. Last year, the scoring system was completely different. So, it was just straight on VPs, and he had second turn. So, what happened is we didn't do very much until... the bell rang and then he got to finish his second turn and just picked off enough points to win just yeah. like literally by 15 points or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So this time it was you had to break to win.
Yeah.
So there's no point in me trying to get a draw or a small win because I wouldn't win the event, so I had yeah. to break him. So it was just a case of I'm just going to ram this down your throat. So I put my 8 Saurus in a massive brigade in column yeah. and just pushed it forward, so go and charge this.
Yeah.
And my 4 cold ones in a big long line. So whatever he charged was going to sting. Yes. My skinks were hidden away. And I used whatever it's called. Mazumba's fucking shitty pants.
Revenge. Spell.
Yeah. So basically I took out... First few turns I took out his peg knights. Cause I'm not getting charged by those.
Yeah.
And then once the peg knights were gone, I took out his grail knights. And said they ain't charging.
Yeah.
So for the whole game, the Pegasus knights and grail knights didn't get involved. It was just regular knights.
Well, what did you charge with them?
So, his peg knights he gave me, they weren't easy to get to.
Yeah.
It certainly wasn't like just one order, home back order.
Yeah.
It was like home back order to get into a position. Because
yeah.
you can move 40 centimetres. You can yeah. move from 20 centimetres one side of the wizard
yeah.
or
yeah, yeah.
hero to 20 centimetres the other. And then second order in. So it was like divine guidance, 9-8
yeah.
to hit his peg knights in the flank.
Mm-hmm.
So I traded both units of my Pterodons for both units of his Peg Knights.
Fair enough. Good trade.
Very good trade, because he's only got 6 break and I've just yep. taken 2.
Yeah.
And he's not fighting with any of the... From that point on, he's not fighting with any of the Grail Knights.
Yeah.
Because then I'll be neutralised each turn.
Yeah.
And all I'm offering him is a brigade of 8 Saurus or a brigade of 4 Cold Ones. They're all yep. in line. And eventually he had to take it because he was losing.
Yeah.
Because I'm picking off his bits and pieces and he's not being able to fight. And eventually I'm just going to make him. I'm going to put my Saurus in line 30 centimetres away from his knights. And they're going to have to come in.
Charge, yeah.
They're going to have to come in.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're going to have to do.
Yeah.
So I'm coming forward and forward. And then eventually he comes in. He does a lot of damage, as you'd expect.
Yeah.
But can't kill the Saurus.
Yeah.
He's got no choice other than what he does.
Yeah.
Because these guys are all crazies. So yep. they've got to pursue, they've got to advance,
keep
so they're locked in against the Saurus and then the Cold Ones just sweeping the side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was it. It's like yeah. the easiest game I had in the day.
Really?
By a mile. Because like my army just had every answer for
every answer,
army.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to stop you charging, we're going to take out the pieces, you've only got breaker 6.
Yeah.
And it was over like 35 minutes.
Really? Oh, I didn't realise it was that quick. Yeah.
It was just like, I mean, he had shitty rolls.
Yeah.
His magic didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, just it was like one of those. My Saurus just hit too hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
cold ones hit way too hard.
Right. Wow. So you'd won. So that's your third and final game, which you've won.
The third and final game.
So my third game was against the.
But obviously, the strength of schedule of him is pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
Better than Janus.
So my third game was against Janus, which I've got momentum.
Who'd lost at this point, hadn't he? Or
no. No.
He must have done something.
No, he ran out of time. He'd with drawn. Nick. He'd drawn. Hadn't got a perfect score against.
So he got a break and a draw. Yeah. He was only on 6 points when he came in against you.
Yeah, exactly. Because him and Nick had fought each other to a standstill and run out of time mutually. So I'm playing against Janus, obviously the man, the legend, the guy that keeps winning. And his returning this was the opposite. He'd gone from minimum. So his break point was 2. Which he had.
I mean, it has to be 1.
Yeah,
that's the law. You've got to take 2.
So it's taken 1 extra
to get 2.
To get 2,
of which he'll expose 1.
Well, he kept all the knights together. He basically had 2 Pegasus, 2 Grail knights, and 1. Two regular knights and 1 Grail. Pegasus Grail knights. Yeah,
yeah.
And he had 8 squires, units of squires.
That sounds like him.
and then quite a bit of other stuff.
So they've got 6 apart. They're reavers, aren't they?
They're light cavalry. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And then a lot of foot infantry and characters, etc. So I looked at this and I was like, right, so he will not expose his knights until I've beaten a way to them, and I have a good break here, but I have to be careful that I don't get suckered in fighting stuff that doesn't mean anything, because ultimately they won't cost anything to his break. Only his knights matter. So we had a couple of turns of approach, as I was keeping my lines together and not rolling particularly well. But
he needs to be really aggressive in this game. I don't know if he was.
Well, it's pretty early on he realised his bow fire just wasn't going to achieve anything. Because again, it's minimal damage and I just won't make way. So the way the scenery was, he set up basically a gauntlet of squires either side of these 2 bits of impassable. And I eyed it up and I was like, do I want to charge any knights in? They don't mean anything, these squires, but that's the I can charge in my terms. I decided to go for it to try and get some raised deads off it. Anyway, it didn't fail the rolls. Fights happened, I killed quite a bit of squires, not less knights, which he then countered. So basically 2 of my units of black knights are tied up now fighting lots of squires. And my infantry, he's pulling back as my infantry advances, and I'm giving him less and less table, real estate to go to play in.
Because he's not got much infantry, I guess. If he's got 9,
quite a bit, 8 units, quite a bit, but it's not quality infantry. My Grail Knights. Sorry, my Grave Guard when they get there will wreck face.
Okay.
And he moved his cavalry deep into his left flank. Into his right flank. So my left. And I'm closing the door diagonally on him now, and I was like, right, okay, so that's where he's gone. How can I get? And I realised, with these 2 units knights that were getting worn away, becoming combat ineffective. I was like, okay, don't get suckered in again. How do I get to his knights? And I looked at it, eyeballed it, made a few measurements, and I was like, right, general's got to order the 2 units of knights left out to a position, and then I can get them in on a second order to his line of 3 knights. I did up a lot, and passed the first order, failed the second. So I set up I've got to keep the pressure. It's the only place that the pressure matters. And what I found in the combats that were happening, so my Grave Guard had now made contact with his infantry, is I wouldn't actually always advance, because if I've taken 2 wounds, it's probably best to back off now, because I'll save my wounds, because it doesn't matter. Nothing. It's kind of reverse. Where you might push forward to catch a breakpoint, at a risk of losing a stand, you don't want to do that, because there's no breakpoint. There's a meeting.
You
want to fall back and.
Although he would lose badly on victory points eventually.
Well, eventually, yes, he would. So anyway, I'd failed this first order. I failed the second order. So I moved my characters around, and I did this lovely combo. I cast Vanhel's Dance, moving a unit of knights into a gauge directly on 4 stands of his, and then I cast Raise Dead, and I got both rolls, and I raised a unit of dead behind him.
Could he not fight backwards with some of the knights?
No, it was all fighting to the front. So it was because I raised them One in support. I checked the rules.
Oh, right, yeah,
and
yeah.
I was so like, do I have to? And I did check it with Jim, and I don't have to.
No, so you just had to put one in.
Yeah, so I put two units in, two stands in, and one behind. So that proceeded to kill a unit and damage up another one. So I've taken, you know, I got him down to a half break, and I just kept pushing pressure. And then, so next turn, he countered with everything he could to stop me catching the last
stand. The single stand, yeah.
And he did work. Like, he got spells off. He saved them. And I was like, well done. That was like. But then the following turn, I didn't even need the movement spell. I got my next unit of knights. The last unit of knights I'd held intact came in and charged the single stand,
yeah.
Which he tried to back off. But I just like.
There's nowhere to go.
I gave him nowhere to go. So I won that. I won that. The victory points came down to roughly about equal. But I'd broken him, and that's all that mattered.
Yeah, yeah. But we only got a break of two.
Yeah, yeah. So I won my third game as well.
It's not the Bretonian list that I'd run.
Well, no, it isn't. But it's a very different list from what you faced.
Very generous.
So it was a great game, and I was pleased to beat Janners with a list that he'd chosen rather than one he'd made to use.
Back to back victories. I've still only got the Goblin versus High Elf one to the back of the
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm sitting pretty now.
You're sitting much more pretty than me.
So we both won all our games.
That's very good.
And so when it was all sorted out,
my strategy schedule was better because I was fighting further up the table.
So the final would have been me versus Barry, but it was a 3-round event. So Barry took first place and I took second.
We got some tremendously attractive trophies that we broke. I broke mine and you broke yours.
Well, at least they gave us something.
No, it's fantastic. Yeah. That's the third time I've won those, and that's the first one I've got.
There you go.
I think you've got the doubles, and Tom's got the team event.
Yeah. So I would have liked to have played the final. Now we have to plan a date that we.
It will happen. Yeah. On the.
I'm just saying.
YouTube.
Just saying, we have to play this.
Or Facebook Live or something. It'll happen. It might not happen today.
No. I'm not saying it's happened. It doesn't happen today, but we should do it because I would like to know. I'd like to play that game.
Okay. Well, you've been quite long already. We've done all right.
Yeah, yeah.
So that does the event. It was fantastic. Thanks to Jim and Alex. Alex Chanaway for running it.
Afterwards we all went for a curry and we got the Scots to go with us.
Yeah,
and
that was really good.
Six of them turned up and they were a really nice bunch of guys, and I will go to Stirling provided it's not the date that is Luke's wedding. So I've messaged them saying don't make it that date, make it another date. Okay. But see what you can do. Then we don't know when it is yet.
Yeah. And hopefully we can try and keep it. Because I can't really get away early on Friday, so I'll have to try and see what I can do. Maybe go up Saturday or later.
Well,
Friday
Janice recommended the sleeper train, didn't he?
He's so posh. Send his Batman to go and book the ticket. He was talking about en suites and stuff. How much of those, mate?
Don't know. Anyway, so he couldn't. I mean, to both of us. I mean, yeah, like it. It's never the greatest thing to not get to win all your games and to be out of strength of schedule, but it happens. But to play an event, to not lose, to take a prize away as well, you can't ask for more than that. Yeah, good for our podcast, eh?
What we're going to talk next week about?
I would like to go over the tournament pack for the London GT. Because there's enough tickets sold now that it's definitely a 4-round event.
Good.
And if tickets continue to sell, it'll definitely be a 5-round event then. But at the moment it's still sitting pretty because you'd have had an absolute final. If there had been another round. So even though the tournament pack is a copy of mine, I'd just like to talk through that again to everybody just to say this is what it is.
Okay. I'm sure we can fit that in.
Yeah, and other stuff I'll just mention now is I floated some things on the rules committee. Just wanted to hear people's opinions on various topics. About this issue. I explained to them my experience of this about the flies. What do you think? About chariots, are they too cheap?
What would be the role of harpies if they had that job?
Well, exactly. And the
harpies are now relegated to literally no role.
Well, last one I put up, what was the last? Oh yeah, Command 10.
Command 10.
Just,
too big. Too big.
Should Command 10 be disappearing? Everyone's 9. Yeah.
I brought that up a long time ago.
No, I'm just saying, but these are things like
The answer is it's too big. It's a different game.
Yeah. Exactly. Say, it's just to get.
I think my elves are there now. Anyway, I think with the way things have changed, I've tried like 10 silver helms. It's all right, but if you come against the wrong stuff, what are you going to do?
Because I say, like, in retrospect of the event overall, is that me and you, Barry, we have played quite a lot of games of Warmaster now, and we both of us can, I think, can toolbox a situation, can't we? Like, with what I've got on the table, what I need to do, how do I achieve it to win it? You know?
Just have a game plan. Yeah. That's what I've got. Mine's a very simple game.
I would say if you know, if you're going to play in a Warmaster event, play some practice games and work out.
I'll be laughing because when you raise dead behind my Saurus, they don't care, mate. They don't care. They're just going to eat you. They got more attacks hitting you than you give them.
But I've raised them. But they're already engaged at the front, aren't they? Your Saurus.
They're in column.
Oh, I see.
They're just smashing shit out of you, mate. You try and raise behind me, I'll just eat you.
I'll just eat you.
I've got three attacks in the back.
Yeah, yeah.
With better armor.
Ba ba bang.
With the ding, the ding, the ding.
Fair enough. But yeah, that's the experience there, is where we can look at a situation and work out what is the thing to be done. And it's paid off, like, because, you know, it's been a while since you. When was the last time you lost a tournament game?
I don't know. A while
ago, isn't it?
I don't know when the last time I played, though. Probably the tournament I quit. Mm. After two wins, two losses, and then quit. Play the stupid silver helmet.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, because, like, if you play on the wrong battlefield, you can't do anything.
Well, and our
against the wrong army.
Yeah, no, we're trying.
I was against that fella.
Yeah, Melvin.
So, but to be fair to him, he was never going to win that game.
Yeah,
by coming and fighting me, so he just didn't bother. So I said, oh well. Don't worry about it. You can have this one.
Next, like, would you use the Saurus as in, like...
No, they've got to be retired now.
They've got to be retired now that you've won an event. Yeah.
Yeah. I still have one with High Elves.
Oh, so you go back to High Elves, really?
No, they're shit now.
Right.
No, because what if, apart from Leadership 10, they don't have anything.
Right, okay.
Nothing that I like using.
Nothing's good, is it?
No, nothing I like using. Like the brigade of, what are they called? Bolt throwers.
Yeah.
I'd rather have the Goblin Bolt throwers, right? Genuinely. Because you only get one shot off, then they're gone.
Okay.
And they're only hitting on fours. So no armor piercing.
So what would the next army you would put to
They'd probably try and do Empire. Or Ogres if they're ready.
Yeah.
Ogres will be sticky.
You should be playing Ogres.
Well, they've got there'll be a difficult, different toolbox.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's definitely a toolbox there.
Yeah, yeah.
Cannons are always the problem, mate. Yep. I don't fear, like, infantry.
No, you wouldn't with Ogres.
I don't fear cavalry. Well, I fear is cannon. Yeah. Artillery. Because they don't really have anything to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they don't.
You just have to put goblins in the way.
Send some greenlings.
Greenlings to die. Yeah, but you've got to be careful with them. Mm-hmm. You can't put them in brigades or anything. Just like one unit of greenlings per turn. Just feed them. But we'll see. There'll have to be something like that. I mean, there aren't that many cannons in the game, to be fair. There's only two armies. They don't care. Don't talk about Dogs of War. Paul bought another army. It's a really good deal.
Yeah,
it was. Really good deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And if it was any other army but Dogs of War, I'd have probably bought it. But they're just poo.
I mean, I didn't go there. I mean, I didn't know he was going to be anyone was going to be selling something like that. But basically, the guy Neil brought a Dogs of War army along, which was alternative model. Yeah,
nice.
But it's lovely. It was all done. It was finished. Yeah, yeah. It was a good list. And he sold it for £100, and I was like, yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, of course. But it's just, Dogs of War.
So what we're going to do on Wednesday, next club time, we should say that, the big multiplayer game we're going to play.
Oh, yeah, we can talk, because we're not going to talk all day about your thing. So we'll talk about this big multiplayer game. We're playing a big multiplayer game.
Yes.
Defend the Village.
Where we're going to not worry about points. We're just going to bring everything painted.
Yeah, so it's Empire versus Chaos stuff.
So it's going to be Empire and... just Empire? Oh, Dogs of War as well, if we want to fit that in. Against Chaos, Beastmen, Demons.
All chaosy
stuff. So defend that village.
It'd be defend a town or defend a city.
It would look spectacular. I mean, that huge hill that I got on that was given away, I'm going to spray that a colour, and that's going to go in the other corner just to fill up the table, make it look good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, so that was us. We've done about an hour and 20. That's probably too long, really. But that was Warmaster Podcast, episode 78. Paul, Barry, good night.
Night.
Would you like to know more?